Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peters.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 104, Barbara Potion. Barbara is a very large seller who, with a very strong corporate background, has been able to apply that knowledge and that expertise into her business. A very impressive, very cool conversation. In the beginning, we just start how she gets started. We talk about her role in the corporate world, and eventually we get into Jet, which is the second segment, and I think it's fascinating. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, I'm excited about tonight's guest because this question has been bounced around a bunch of groups I've been in, and Barbara and I met, I guess it was at the ScanPower conference. Yeah. We actually sat next to each other, and me, you, and Andy Slammons, and I think Mendy was in front of us, Barbara Potion. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, thank you.
Well, I appreciate you jumping on here because one of the things we're going to talk about is Jet, because you're having some success. You sent me a note. I was in New York City at a show. And actually, I was on the train, and I got that message from you, and we had already met prior, and you're talking about Jet, and I'm like, now I'm interested because, you know, other people have been talking about it for a while, and then it's funny, after we set this appointment, all of a sudden it became a hot topic, and you're the expert because you're the only one that I know today. Now, I'm sure there are other people having success. I mean, I know they're selling, you know, millions, if not billions already. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of people having success. It's just my little circle that I travel in, and it's an isolated circle, and I acknowledge that. And it just haven't had a lot of people who have reached out into that new avenue with success, and you're having success. If I remember correctly, you said it was about 3% of your sales. At this point, is that correct?
Yeah, I think we're about 8% of sales on 10% of the listings. I think that's fair.
Okay. So it's definitely becoming a viable market, you know, and so being on the ground floor, I think, is very exciting. So we're going to get to all that. We're also going to get to your Shopify site. I'm excited about that too, because you have a great size operation. I mean, you're not a small little business. You've really built up into a big business. So let's hear how you got there. Did you just magically, you know, swing your wand and this all came about, or is there a background on how you got into e-commerce?
Well, there was a pivotal moment. It was a Sunday night. It was 10 o'clock at night. It was my birthday, and I was at work with about 20 other people. And I had a moment to think, and I thought, this isn't even that unusual. Other than the fact it's not always my birthday, but we're here all the time, the job before, the next job I get, I'm going to wake up one day and all I'll ever have done has worked. And it was just insane. And I was like, I'm working this hard for other people?
Well, what kind of career is it?
I was the head of financial budgeting and planning for major corporations. So during the recession, it gets very hairy because everybody wants you to solve it with accounting magic. Call this the lack of sales. And then when things are good, they want you to do all these acquisitions. Oh, there's always something to do extra over time, you know, and all under the guise of advance your career. And I was really like, you know, I think I need to do this. My father had his own business. My mother had her own business. And
I'm like, really?
This is not how I'm going to get. You know, this is not how I'm going to get fulfilled. This isn't going to be where I'm going to go.
Let me ask you a question about your mother and father. Were they college educated?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were true, you know, business owners, right? Right from day one, just that was their thing. Who pushed you to go to college? Was it self or your father did?
Well,
because he didn't want you.
There wasn't really anything I saw that I could do that I thought I could make a good living at without college.
So, but it's interesting, you know. He didn't push you into the family business or your mom's family business, either one. They thought that a better life would be the career, right?
Right.
But here's where I'm going with it. What would you do for your kids, knowing what you know now? Because you have the benefit of seeing both sides, theirs, then advanced career, and now your own.
they're sick of hearing me say this, I'm sure, but I say to them, you need to have a backup plan to your backup plan. So what I would like to see them do is go to work for 5 to 10 years for somebody else, learn all they can learn about what it is they like to do, and then start their own business.
Now, I have a son who's going to – he's a junior now. I guess he's now a junior officially. And my coaching to him is, you know, he's going to college education, of course, but and I want him to go work for someone. But I also want him to work as a side hustle. You know, I'm trying to teach him that, you know, put away your paycheck, you know, 401k, all that kind of jazz. Then go on great vacations based on the amount of effort you put into your side business. That way you can truly enjoy life. But it's the fruits of your effort, you know?
Yeah, that's I'm hoping the other thing that I sticks. Say to them is, you know, find out what it is that you like to do and then find a way to pay for it.
Yeah, and I think in today's day and age, there really is a way for anything that you want to do. I mean, you could be a blogger. I mean, I know many bloggers making over six figures talking about what they love. Right. Mm-hmm. Or the travel hackers that travel the world, because that's one, or missionaries that actually have a living and then they also can do their mission work. I think it's a different world today than what your parents. What are they both still alive?
No, they both passed.
Okay, both passed. I would wonder what they would say about where you are today. Would they know that you'd end up in your own business?
I think they would be proud of me no matter what, because they always were. I don't think – I know when I worked in finance, my father could not understand what it was that I did. And I finally just said to him, you know, it's like I solve big word problems. That's what I do, Dad. And he's like, I don't understand. I don't understand. But I think he would actually understand this a little bit better.
And he would – would he be surprised that you're there though?
I think that they both thought that corporate America was the safe haven that – I obviously, if they just pop back into my life right now, they'd be surprised. But I think, you know, they would have seen the natural progression and they would have seen, my father kept saying, why do you have another job? I'm like, well, Dad, the company merged and then, or we got divested or I found a better opportunity. You know, he was basically in his job all his life. So it was very surprising to him that every 2 to 3 years I was someplace else.
Yeah, no frame of reference.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and it was, you know, if you think about that, that's one generation from us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all it is. That's when, you know, and Andy Slammons always says, this is the, you know, the beginning. We're at the just the tip of the start of this industrial revolution, you know, mm-hmm. And we really are. But we're, you and I are right there with the way it was. It's just really interesting to me. Okay, so you decided that working on your birthday on a Sunday night was never going to change, right? It was just going to be a new company eventually, you know, and it'll be another one. And, you know, you'll make more money, but at some point it doesn't matter, right? The happiness – I just heard this stat that after $70,000 a year, the happiness factor, it really – it doesn't get any better. So it's really not add anything. So, you know, at some point it's really all about your life and your time. Was it – was that birthday an important one, a pivotal one for you, a big number or a small number?
It was just another one. It was just another day.
Ooh, that's awful.
It was just another birthday that I was at work, that I wasn't with my family, that I wasn't with my kids. No matter how many ways I tried to change it, I would say, hey, I want to take a step back. Sure, no problem. But it wouldn't happen. I came back after maternity leave, and they told me, when you come back, we're going to be part of this big company and, you know, you're going to be a rounding error. And the next thing I know, I'm on my birthday. I'm there at 10 o'clock at night looking at another 4 hours and getting in early. So it's like, you know, no matter how I try to change it now, you know, to be fair to the corporations, and the people that work there, I'm a workaholic. So it was very easy to exploit that.
Well, but cream does rise to the top. You know, I mean, I'm still in corporate America. So, you know, we know who they are, the high achievers, the high potentials, we call them. We immediately identify them. I have some HR responsibility. We immediately identify them and we not milk them. We groom them. We develop because, you know, they have so much more potential. So that's normal. And so I would say that you clearly fit that bill. That's what that's what causes that. So.
Oh, okay. I like that explanation better.
That's true. It's absolutely true. I mean, we are trained to identify them, and then we all talk behind your back.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay. So you decided, and did you start, you know, with an eBay business, or I mean, do you didn't just quit cold turkey and say I'm out and that's it?
No, this not with a financial background, and you know, it took me, I'm embarrassed to say, almost a year to believe in FBA. I couldn't understand how it could be financially viable. Like, how can they afford this shipping? There's some catch. I don't know. And, you know, and I had to do tests and stuff before I believed it. The numbers worked on paper, but I just said, there's something I'm missing. Something can't be happening. Obviously, I'm 100% of our stock's there right now. So obviously I believe in it. But I remember because I was working so much, I could not go out and buy my kids Christmas presents in by going store to store to store. It was very inefficient. I couldn't find what they wanted. So buy everything online and have it shipped to my office. And my husband would come in a couple days before Christmas and we'd wrap everything up. And then Christmas Eve, during the day, we'd go and put everything in his car and then bring it in the house. And I was looking at Amazon and it said, sell yours. I'm like, sell my what? What are they talking about?
Hold on. I want to ask a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you just described to me sounds a little challenging. Your husband had to come to your office to wrap presents with you.
Right.
Now, I'm not judging you in any possible way, but I guarantee you there are many couples listening to this right now that will resonate with. You know, I've gotten called back from vacations. I've had to fly home for incidents, you know, so I can appreciate what you're saying. But just hearing that, it bothers me a little bit. Did that take a toll, do you think?
No, it was Snoopy kids.
Okay.
That's why
it
everything
wasn't,
was there. They couldn't
okay,
find
okay.
it if it wasn't – if it was at my office and, you know, they couldn't – no, it was Snoopy kids.
Okay. I was worried that that was the only time you really got to see him was at work because,
no.
you know, your
that
schedule.
Was just where we would do –
all right. I feel better.
It was actually kind of fun. We could – you know, nobody was there. We would do
okay.
it a couple days before and just stay late at night and wrap them all because otherwise – what are you doing in there, Mommy? What are you doing in there? I'm like, Daddy and I are reading, you know, like, oh, that's that papery noise. What are you doing? You know, like, you're going to blow up Santa Claus. Can't do that.
All right. I feel better. I feel better. All right. Go ahead.
No,
so
take its toll. I mean, there were times when I would just be so exhausted from working so many hours. And
does he have a professional career too?
His career was a little bit more normalized. He's the art director.
Okay.
And he had deadlines, but they weren't – mine was constant. His was intermittent.
But still, both of you have, you know, pretty, you know, involved jobs in that. And so that does take a toll on a household is where I go with it. You know, it's got to take a toll. Having two –
absolutely.
You know, it just has to, especially with the child.
It's faint that we're still married.
Ah, nice. I like that.
He
I like
really
that.
Is. We've had four fights in our entire marriage, two of them – involved some alcohol maybe, so they were kind of stupid fights, but you know, that's it, because he's just like, it's not worth the fight, it's not a big deal, it's not this, it's not that. So he's the same.
All right, well, sorry I interrupted you, but why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll get into exactly how you made that conversion mentally and realize that there's an opportunity here. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit selleressentials.com. For more information, that's selleressentials.com. Told you this is one smart lady. Okay, in this segment, we spend a lot of time on Jet specifically because that's the reason, you know, Barbara reached out to me and mentioned Jet, and I have questions about it, like a lot of people didn't quite understand how it works. I think I have a really decent understanding based on Barbara's conversation, but it is in its infancy stages, and what I appreciate most about what she's doing, again, is even if Jet doesn't succeed, which is not likely, but just even if it didn't, She now has the ability to replicate this on just about any platform. So whatever the new shiniest one that come along, she's going to be able to jump ahead, leap ahead, because of the expertise she's learned in getting onto a new platform. It's just really fascinating. Smart woman and very exciting stuff. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Barbara Boshin, and we're talking about her foray into online selling from a, you know, pretty high level corporate job. And you did it for a long time. So you were pretty much an expert at that stuff in the corporate world, right? Just company to company, you know, oh, here's your new ID, right? Here's your new ID, right? Here's your new sign-ons. This is the way this one works. Oh, all right. It's sad that when you start, I think about in my industry, I worked for 9 different companies. So I know them all. Yeah. You know, most of them don't exist anymore. They've been bought and sold and bought and sold and that kind of thing. So I can appreciate that. Okay, so you were buying online. You saw the little – hey, sell yours.
I looked at it a little closer, and it was, I think I was buying a stuffed animal at the time. And I was like, how could I be, this seems like it's really written to, this doesn't make sense. Further investigation, you could sell used stuffed animals, quote unquote, collectible. Well, we had a lot of those, and I had just thrown out a ginormous bag of my kids' stuffed animals. I think they multiply by themselves in your kids' rooms, and, you know, as they get a little older, they don't need this one, they don't need that one, so I had just thrown a bag out of pretty much pristine stuffed animals. So I said, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take $500, and I'm going to go out and buy as many used stuffed animals that I can find at garage sales and rummage sales, wherever, and I'm going to test this out. I'm going to see what the heck this is. Worst comes to worst, they don't let me sell them anymore, and this was an interesting experiment, and no harm, no foul. Pretty much that $500 turned into, I think I did the math the other day, about $25,000, because you can buy a truckload of used, nobody wants used stuffed animals, but they do want that one Barney, or they do want that one strawberry shortcake, or whatever, that their kid had, that got left in the playground, got left at Disney World, or they bought one and they want to get another one that's exactly like it. And it was amazing. The margins were astronomic. And I thought, okay, well, it's not really scalable, but it definitely there's something here. And then from the used stuff at rummage sales and garage sales in my spare time when I wasn't working, then to doing some retail arbitrage, then to wholesale, and now we're doing manufacturing and private label on top of all of that.
Did you – on top of it, yeah, because you're still doing the other. Did you read any books? Did you read like a Chris Green book about arbitrage? Okay, so that's how you saw the arbitrage opportunity and started doing a little research, that kind of thing.
Well, Chris, I knew – obviously I knew what arbitrage was, and when I saw the name on the book, I was like, what? That's because for me, for everybody else, I go, what's arbitrage for me?
Oh, your world, that's
for
normal.
For me, that means, what does online mean in that sentence? and what Chris's book did for me was made it real. So I said, there's no way, it's almost like I knew too much, right? It's almost be better if I didn't know anything. Like, I knew a lot about business, and I knew a lot about buying and selling, and you have, if you're going to do wholesale, you have to go in big and all these other things. And those barriers were at that time, you know, it's not that long ago, but at that time, and probably even before then, were breaking down, you know, sell yours.
The fact that you know all those things and you've seen all the legal things and all that crazy structure stuff, is that a hindrance? Is that a barrier for you? Because you're like, well, wait, I just can't do this because blah, 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 because you've been trained so long.
For about 3 seconds.
Okay. So you're able to get past it. You push right past it.
Yeah. The other side, one of the everybody goes like, what do you think your biggest asset is? And, or what do you think like you like makes you unique or whatever? Not that everybody's asking that all the time, but it, you know, like, why do you think you, what do you need to do this? And I think, and for me, the biggest thing is being creative. I remember taking some.
And that's rare.
Is it?
For a finance person.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, usually, you know, usually you're the other brain. You're the other side. Your husband's the other side, right?
Right,
mentally.
Right. But I think I was always, I was never an accountant. I was always a strategic financial person.
Mm-hmm. So, there is a difference. Yeah, there is a big difference. Yeah.
So I, they would be like, we have to do this. We have to find $7 million. I'm like, well, we can look at this accrual and then, you know, where the accountant's like, the accrual is the accrual. I'm like, oh, yeah. There are many accrual. There's many ways to look at everything.
It doesn't. Estimates are inherent in the accounting profession, right? And he started those lines.
Yeah. So, and then, or we could, I could say here, here's another one. Like one of the companies I work for, made online directories. I mean, made physical directories of lawyers' names and numbers. And that's how, when, before there was an internet, that's how you found a lawyer. And that's how you found a good, bad, or whatever lawyer. And you went to the library and you pulled a book down and you looked it up just like you would a phone book. And they recognized the revenue a certain way. And basically, because I was creative, I was able to help them redesign their entire structure to move 100% online with low financial exposure in that conversion. Because it was creative. It was, and I love that because I could take, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and somehow we could get it to 4.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's, and those skill sets in this business are natural. I mean, let's face it, that's what you're doing every day today, right?
Yeah.
In small scale.
Every time I get something and I think I've got a hero and then Amazon comes on my listing and makes it a zero, I've got to, you know, really work that creative muscle to figure out how to get that out from under. Or when you're, you know, there's competition on something in wholesale, like how can I, is it a multi-pack? Is it a bundle? Leave this thing, you know.
And that's how you would get out of that, right? You would pair it up with something they wouldn't naturally pair, right? And, or like you said, do 2-pack, 3-pack,
something
four
like that.
Pack.
Yeah. Or like okay. I'm pulling something back now and we're pairing it with other like items to go in there.
Well, that's a good, you know, because I'm thinking about, you know, people listening and they're saying, I've had that happen to me. How do I get around that? So, you know, Barbara mentioned you can bundle it with other things. But the fact that you're pulling it back, when do you decide to pull it back? How do you know, well, you're watching Amazon to see if they're going to run out? Do you watch them replenish and say, okay, here's their pattern. They're never going to run out? Or tell us about that.
Well, that's – so it was probably the most instructional lesson I ever had in when what happens when Amazon comes on your listing. It's the first time I ever went really, really deep. I bought half a container of these puzzles because they were selling great, and I sourced them to the manufacturer, and they said the only way you can buy these is if you buy them really deep. And they wanted me to buy a container load. I'm like, you know, freaking out. And then they think I got it down. That's right. I bought a quarter container. They got it. I got them to just make me buy a quarter container, and I sold about half the stock. And then, you know, and it's so nice to open your orders page and you see puzzle, and you're trying to find if you sold anything else because you sold so much of one thing. And, you know, so smart. Wow, aren't, you know, this is great.
Life is good. I found a whole
pat myself on the back. This is excellent.
Yeah.
And then there's no more orders.
Hmm.
What the heck?
Your buy box percentage goes 0.
Yeah. So I open the listing and I look at it and I see that not only is Amazon on the listing, but they have now dropped the price by a third.
Wow.
So I am, if I sell one, I'm breaking even at best case.
Did your repricer automatically go down and match them?
Yes.
Okay.
And then sell one more.
And they're in the buy box.
They're in the buy box, and they have their hands around the throat of the buy box like nobody's business. So I can't sell any. So I dropped my price to now I'm only losing $1 a piece now.
Ooh, I'm only losing $1.
But I did the math, and you know, overall, based on the half that I had sold, I'm still in the green. That's great. Still in the black. And I can't sell one. I 6 months later, I haven't sold. I've sold
even though
two.
You dropped the price.
Even though I dropped the price, they just followed me right down.
They did. Oh wow.
I was like, this is horrible. Then. They send me, and this is something that the container went right to them, and they had labeled and put everything on the shelf, right? That's going to be important later in this stupid story. And then long-term shipping comes. So now they're sending me back hundreds of these units. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting in my hallway outside my warehouse, and I'm looking at them every day when I come in and going, not smart, stupid, not smart, stupid. Why did you buy so deep? You silly person. And then they ran out of stock.
They ran out.
And they ran out of stock right before Christmas. And I ended up selling them between $12 and $18 and making profit. Now, I'm not going to live as long as I would have if this hadn't happened. I think I lost in stress at least a couple weeks of my life.
Were you able to bring the price higher than what it was when you both were in on it?
Yes.
Or at least, were you able to make some ground back
of
the lost profits?
It was selling at $8 when they came, before they came on, I was selling, all day long, $12, $12, $12. When they came on, it went to $8. And when I ended up sending it back in, we went back up to $12, $14, $16, $18 was the last one sold. So it's a happy ending. But it's just so painful.
It's a lesson, though. It's a real lesson.
It was huge because then I'm thinking, the best way to make money after all is to have some differentiator, whether it's private label or it's getting a company to do a private label for you that nobody else can touch, or it's making a bundle that's very hard to replicate. Even bundles that aren't that hard to replicate, people don't like to do a lot of work.
Right. It's work.
Yeah,
right.
They don't want to do work.
People, the path of least resistance.
Yeah. So we do one bundle, and it's very profitable, but it's got 15 pieces, and it has packaging, so nobody wants to do it. We've got it down with our processes, where we can do several hundred in a couple hours, but – that's work. People want to put a tag on it and back it.
So you have figured out what are you taking away from that lesson that you can teach everybody else?
I would say that it's okay to go deep when you've got some sort of protection, right? I took away from that.
Yeah, something unique, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have anything unique. If it was a puzzle that is a standard puzzle you can buy wholesale, mm-hmm. The only thing different between you and everybody else is price, period, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that's it. There's really no other differentiator. Somebody else is going to buy it cheaper than you, or they're going to live closer to the distribution center, or they're going to pallet ship it. They're going to do something mm-hmm. better than you, not a criticism, but it's the real world. So the only thing that'll be a difference is price, and so that's a lesson.
Right. The other lesson is to learn that when I do anything wholesale, that the amount of effort I'm going to generate into it, I need to weigh carefully. So if I'm going to bring something to market that's never been there and I'm going to give 10 away and hopefully get some reviews for it and do deep keywording and make the best listing on the planet, I can't sweat bullets over it because all I'm doing is making a beautiful place for somebody else to come and join.
When you're saying that, what you're doing is you're putting something on the radar because it's going to show up on a list all of a sudden as a fast up and coming. Everybody's going to be like, ooh, I've never mm-hmm. seen that before, including Amazon. I mean, they're not fools. They're business people. They're going to say, hey, here's a hot product. Look at the way the rank's improving. Boom. Thank you, Barbara. Do you get at least a thank you call from Jeff Bezos saying, hey.
On the puzzles? I even got a performance certification on that because Amazon, I had never touched these puzzles. They actually accidentally shipped to my office, so I did see them all. It's like the pallet, the manufacturer on each pallet had the correct address it was supposed to go to, but the overarching one, they shipped it to my billing address. So I did actually see them, so they were perfect. Amazon had been shipping them, and, we've got thousands of puzzles, one's going to drop on the floor, and a couple of customers got some broken ones, and they gave me a performance notification for that. And I was like, but I didn't touch any of them, and you do all the fulfillment. How do I explain this one?
Nice.
So.
All right, so there are some lessons there. That's mm-hmm. good. Okay, so business goes along, and you decide that you don't want to be in the wholesale business exclusive. Retail or exclusive, any of those. How does private label come to you?
Well, I know that there's this is something we've just started getting into in, I would call, we have bundles where I've sourced something differently. I don't know, maybe is that I don't know what you call it, is bundles, right?
Well, that's private label. Yeah, that is private label. I mean, we can call it what you want. You don't have to go over or white label and get something made in China or India or whatever. You can basically, let's use a terrible example. Go to Target end cap and find Honest diapers sitting on the Target end cap, and you can pull them in and you can put them together with Honest wipes, and now all of a sudden you got a bundle. Now, that's a bad example, but that's what it is, right? That's private label. It is, you're going to put your barcode on it, and you're going to sell it as your package.
Right.
That's easily replicable, but it just, that's an example.
Right, and that's the A's on a scale of 1 to 10. That's a one example, right?
Yeah, that's a very bad example. Don't do it. Really think it through, because you will not benefit. Again, the only advantage you'll have is price, and somebody's going to buy it cheaper than you. So go ahead to the other end.
So the other end is once, this takes some money. But once you find, so we go through whole, so part of my feeder channel is I go to TJ Maxx and I see what they're selling. And then I'll source that back to the wholesale manufacturer. And then, when I find something, that starts to get my creative juices flowing. And I'm like, this item is selling really well. It's decently priced. Can I make my own? Can I make my own through a private label manufacturer? All you have to do is type in Google. Private label X, right? And you'll get manufacturers that'll make this for you. Sometimes the manufacturers you're already dealing with are happy to make you a private label version. Maybe it's private label with my name on it, or maybe it's a different color with their name on it they won't make for somebody else. Now, they'll want you to buy thousands of them, but if you've already got a well-established product in a parent-child listing, say, you can make another one.
As I sit and think about that, the limits, I mean, what I've seen in that world, because I dabble in that world, I'm seeing the purchase requirements coming down. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement, or would you agree with that?
Well, I guess it depends on the manufacturer. Some of them have to be browbeat. I don't know. I think the one I had was like they wanted 10,000 units. I was like, ridiculous. Another one, I was like, that's, I don't want a lifetime supply of this. Have it in six colors?
Right. If you can meet the requirement or that's a great idea. Yeah.
But as far as mass, I haven't seen much under 500 units. That's not true.
We just did it was 250 units for a particular item. Me and another gentleman are doing it's 250 items
that's
requirement.
This other thing I'm doing, it's a $500 amount.
Oh, okay.
Which is still a lot of units. It's a very inexpensive item, but it's only $500.
And so will you pair that particular item up with something else?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll bundle that into something else that I'm skewing to a certain category, and I'll bundle that together. And then it's already a very successful product. And when I put my single component in it, it will be, something I can parent child. So I think that's going to be really good.
But let me ask a question about that, because I want to go two places with that, because I know that's your forte. I mean, I think, when you look at what's really been the differentiator in your business, my opinion is that the fact that you take it and you squeeze it for all it's worth. As you said, you're fixing a listing. You're doing all the stuff behind the scenes, putting in the effort to get the most benefit from it. What's your process for that? Are you bringing – you have a small warehouse. Are you putting all that stuff together at your small warehouse, or are you using a third party?
Everything we've – I have – this has been a struggle for us. I have three or four people, depending on how you count them, that do all the bundling and all the packaging and all that.
At your warehouse?
At my warehouse, in the processing area. We've tried to go to, so there's one product that I really love. It's 15 pieces. I had a custom box made to package it. So
smart.
It would be faster to package it and it would look better and be nicer and it gets shrink wrapped. And to take that to a third party, it's like, okay, so my profit is like $8 on this and that's what you're going to charge me. It's like, and I still have to make sure you do it right.
You have to handle the quality control. Did you purchase equipment to help make this easier? I mean, do you have a shrink tunnel yet? Do you have conveyors? Have you gone any of that distance?
I haven't done the shrink tunnel. We don't have the space. We're talking about moving, tripling our space in a year if certain things work out, you know, with the jet thing and the whatever. We do have shrink wrap guns. We do have the, you know, obviously we use shrink wrap. We do have impulse sealers and special tape, ridiculously overpriced, expensive tape dispensers.
Okay, but so you've invested some on the smaller scale, but you haven't gone to the full-size manufacturer. All right, well, this is where my second question was coming, was related to Jet. Specific, and it could be eBay, it could be any of the other channels that you sell on, well, even your Shopify site. Are you able to take the knowledge that you have with that particular bundle? Let's use your 15 bundle piece where you've really mastered the art of putting it together. You've worked hard on the packaging, which I applaud you for thinking that way, because those little efficiencies add up in the scale that you're doing. I mean, I really do really applaud you. Were you able to take that same knowledge in that and then apply it to Jet and to Shopify and all that kind of stuff? Does it translate, I guess, is where I was going with it?
Well, I think it translates fairly well on eBay.
Okay.
Because
so it's similar.
They're keyword oriented. Jet is not keyword centric yet. The only thing Jet will really recognize is there's no keywording function, which is frustrating. Because there's so many more ways that people can look up than you can stuff into a description and a title.
Wait, on Jet there is?
There isn't.
Oh, there isn't. Okay.
So the only thing they recognize are the title and the bullets and the description. So if you have, you know, all the ancillary keywords that you would want to put in, you can't utilize there. But it's so early days for them. I'm like on the phone with them practically every day, and they have huge challenges and from working in a startup environment, because when I worked in corporate, like at least half the companies I worked for were internet startups. Maybe not half, but significant. It felt like half in dog years. It has the same vibe as everything's going crazy here and we're working, you know, 100 miles an hour and we're changing the tires on the car as we're working 100 miles an hour. So there is that energy, which is really good, but they have a lot of things they have to do. It's just such a different place. So, you know, like all the stuff that goes on Amazon is, I guess they call it crowdsourcing. So we all bring our stuff and we put it on Amazon. And sometimes you and I list the same thing, you know, by accident with the same but different listings, or there's a listing of one and a listing of two and a listing of three and a listing of four, and when they really should be parent-childed and not like all over the map. And basically the catalog is just cuckoo on Amazon. It's gotten really out of control. Where on Jet, they have a stranglehold on the catalog. So we put up 300 listings to start, and after like a week, we had 7 approved.
So well, I want to walk through that whole thing. I want to walk through that whole process. So you have 300. Are they unique products or are they Crest toothpaste? I mean, just give me an example.
Anything and everything.
So some of them are stuff that they already have in their catalog.
Yes.
Okay. So you want to sell Crest toothpaste. We'll use that example. And so you say, hey, Mr. Jet, I want approval. And so everything has to be approved?
Every single listing is matched. Okay. I would say it's approved as much as it's matched.
Okay. So if you're able to – when I'm – you know, I've never really even seen the site, to be honest with you. It is – you know, it's interesting as you were talking about it. It has never come up when I Google search a particular product. I've never seen a Jet listing for anything. I've seen the Facebook ad, you know, when they were doing that push a while back, but I've never seen a search for that under Google. So as you say, they're early yet, but
started seeing it actually.
Okay. Okay. And you would know it, and maybe I wouldn't know what it looks like yet. Maybe I'm not familiar with it yet. So when you go in, you sign in their system, you say, hey, I want to match this Crest toothpaste. Are you putting in the UPC or are you putting in description?
Well, that's an interesting thing too, because once you get approved to sell on Jet, you have to find a way to actually list. So you don't have a seller central.
Wait, so you have to use a third party?
Yeah, or you have to make your own API.
Yuck. Well, I mean, and it's more designed for like Walmart to sell on. It's a bad example. It's not Walmart, but it's.
They don't really want that, though. I can't really get my hand. I'm still struggling. Like, we went and built our own API. I went and looked at some vendors and got sticker shock, or I wasn't happy with the solution. And I have somebody else who I used to work with in corporate that came and did this as well. And he and I were talking, and he's a lot of IT background. And then between the two of us, we said, let's build our own API. They said, we cannot just be 100% reliant on Amazon. eBay's not strong anymore. We need to have other revenue avenues. So we built the API. So now you go in and we can list everything.
It's a custom API. Are you able to link it through to your Shopify site or anything like that to handle inventory issues?
It goes right to FBA. It's connected to FBA.
Okay.
When we sell something on Jet, it goes out and tells FBA that, because you have to respond within 15 minutes that you got the order. So it goes out and it pings FBA, and FBA says, yes, we have one and we'll hold it for you. And then it goes back and it tells Jet that we're good. And then Amazon starts fulfilling it, and then it goes back and tells Jet again that they fulfilled it, and if there's a couple orders, that's another interesting thing. I don't want to digress, but it just communicates back and forth so that it syncs every 5 minutes to make sure that there's no oversell.
Okay, and so Amazon's doing your fulfillment for you?
Yes.
And so they're shipping it in an Amazon box to a Jet customer. But I've heard Jet customers getting Walmart boxes and things like that. It's not a big deal because it's very price-driven, correct?
Yeah, Jet doesn't care. You can go on Amazon if you care and turn off the branding for a small fee. But
what do you care, right? You're selling it at the best price at the time available.
Yeah.
You want to make a sale.
I want to make a sale, and I don't care about the boxes. And half the time, Amazon doesn't use its own boxes either, so that's okay.
So how do you handle the price differentiation? Is your repricer, because we mentioned earlier that you have a repricer for Amazon, how does that affect your Jet, or does it not?
That's the next thing we have to figure out for Jet to manage that. They're starting to come out with some information that'll let you know how much something you're selling is versus something else, but it's still kind of buggy.
Okay.
So, but you can do some other things. So you're really not it's a really interesting world, Jet. You're not selling to a customer, you're selling to Jet. So there's no sales tax issue. You're just a reseller to Jet, so you never have to worry about sales tax in Jet. When you sell something basically back to the Crest toothpaste, I'm going to sell you a tube of toothpaste for $5 plus shipping. And then, vendor A is going to sell it for $4.90 plus shipping. And vendor C is $4.50 plus shipping. And one of the things you can, jigger around a little bit is if you buy two tubes of toothpaste from me, now instead of the $4.90, I'll charge you $4.60 because you're buying two tubes of toothpaste. You can also manipulate it and say, well, if you buy $25 worth of stuff from me, then I'll give you another discount. If you give me your email address, which is also a really cool thing, you can get the email address from the customer, I'll give you another discount. Right, and then I can market to that email address.
All right, so I'm stuck on this. You sell to Jet.
Okay.
So Jet sells Steve, the buyer who wants toothpaste. Mm-hmm. I'm buying from Jet. It doesn't say Barbara's toothpaste stand. I'm buying from Jet, and I see a tube of toothpaste, and it's $4.50 plus shipping. That's all I know.
That's all you know.
That's all I know. Behind the scenes, Jet is out there, in theory, negotiating with your selling tool, whatever it is, finding the best price for them where they can make the arbitrage on the difference. Is that what they're doing?
I don't think they care about the arbitrage on the difference because they get a commission. So
a percentage of
that.
Your sale.
That's right.
Okay, so they're going to get a percentage. Okay, so they're not really looking. They're just looking to fulfill the order in the fastest possible way or at the lowest price that meets the requirement.
Optimal way. So they want to get it to the customer as quickly as possible. They want to get it to, because they that's why they have this 15-minute order acknowledgement requirement, because they want to make sure that that order is going out and there isn't something broken in your system. And they want to get the best price to the customer, and they want to get the best options available all the way around. So they want the best experience for the customer, and they want the customer to buy as much as possible. I just read a statistic that on Amazon, the average units per order are 1.1, mm-hmm. and in Jet, they're 1.5.
Well, that's a competitive advantage. So I'm trying to understand what their advantage is. There's an advantage. So they're saying, hey, you know, they're going to get, you know, 2, 3, 4 units eventually per customer, where Amazon might sell more units, but they're selling them 1, 2, 3, which is a more expensive way to sell. Let's face it, right?
Right. And Amazon doesn't have the facility, and Jet has it built in. It's not like a yay Jet. I mean, Amazon's been wonderful to me, and we built a great business on Amazon. But I think, you know, versus a lot of other marketplaces, we just signed up for Walmart and got approved. I'll see what that looks like. But you know, a lot of other marketplaces, it's like you're not getting eBay. It's too fragmented. There's too much junk. There's too much noise. It's not. They need to just like rip it apart and put it back together if it's not too late for that. Or they don't have them, like Jet has the money, it has legs, it has potential, and I feel like they have more stuff up their sleeve to the craziest thing I've ever seen. I call them every day and I get a different person every day, but they're all local.
Nice. And they understand the language. You know, as much as you complain, not you weren't complaining, as much as you're saying, oh, getting the listing done is a hassle, but the fact that they're not focusing in on that is probably an advantage, because, you know, they'd have resources spent on that. They don't have to spend any resources on that. That way they can keep working on whatever the muscle is mm-hmm. of their program, and then the third-party services can handle. It was kind of the way eBay was way back in the day, right? You know, when it first started and when it had its big success, they had tons of third-party systems that would work with them. Mm. And now they've taken most of it in-house, and now it's a little bit messy, right? It's a little funky. So you've gotten up to 8% of 10%? Is that how we say it?
Yeah, I guess.
Something like that, right? But, you know, you sent in 300. You only had 7. Have any of the others come?
Yes. So it's been a progression. It's almost like and I talked to them about this, and I think I said, it's almost like you approve some of mine, and then you go, okay, that's enough for you. I'm going to the next one.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah,
right.
Pretty much.
She's quiet for a while.
Yeah, they're like, pretty much that's what we're doing. They said they're working. They just doubled their headquarters space, and then when I was talking to the guy, I think it's in Utah, he said they're just going to a new building because they're growing so fast, they don't have room to hold the people. But they're definitely trying to get away from – they're not approving the listings in as much as making sure that if you're selling that Crest toothpaste, they're not putting it against AIM or Colgate. They want to make that that's the one that it goes to. And we still have to check your listings after they, you know, agree to them. And even some of their API stuff's not perfect yet. So they've got ways to go. But the fact that they're putting all this resource to it is very encouraging.
What's the payment plan that they accept? Do they, you know, they have MasterCard, Visa, and all that kind of jazz too, but do they have their own cash system?
Not that I'm aware of. I know they just started a loyalty program. So where you can get, I guess for every dollar you spend, you get $1 Jet cash.
Okay.
Which I haven't had much time to look at that in detail. But I like that they have it.
That doesn't come back off of you as promotional discount or anything like that?
No.
Okay. I mean, when it gets redeemed, I wonder if at that point you have to eat a little bit of that.
No, I don't think so. I think that's coming out of the commission that they take from us.
Well, and great segue, because that's where I was going next. Talk about fees.
As far as I can see, they don't charge you to be a vendor. There's no $39.99 or anything like that. They take 15%. Some things are less, but I think it's mostly 15%. Done.
No, well, there's no pull and pack because they're never touching the product.
Right.
So they're really, you know, that they're just that pipeline, right? They're drawing the audience and they're matching. And, you know, I guess that makes sense then why they're working so hard on their catalog.
Right.
Because the matching is really their – it's got to be their secret sauce because, let's face it, you know, go look at that Crest toothpaste in Amazon's database. You're going to find, you know, 100 listings, right? You
right.
know, they try to keep it as clean as they can, but it just happens. So, you know, the question is, can they scale it fast enough? And is the market hungry enough for it? You know, and I don't know. I mean, that's really interesting.
What other stats can I throw your way that are interesting? So the last thing I read was they're adding 350,000 customers a month. So that's pretty significant. They
yeah, sure.
want to be billions of dollars by 2020, which I was thinking that's so far away, but it's really, really close.
Oh, it's getting closer. But, you know, where would they be getting their customers from? They must be siphoning some Amazon customers,
well,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I think they're getting some – that. Well, first off, online marketplace is just growing every year, period.
Okay.
It's coming from, you know, the offline.
So it's organic. Growth. There's some organic growth, right? Okay.
They are getting a good following from the younger crowd. Obviously, they're taking some of Amazon's business on price because – it's a really interesting, I know you probably haven't done anything on there, but if you ever go and buy on it, it's really interesting. It's like, I liken it to playing like the slot machine, right? You put your money in and you get two cherries and you get a couple coins. You're like, I won, but not a lot, but I won. And then you put them back in and you get a little bit more and you get a little bit more. And well, I mean, if you play too long, you lose it all. But, you know, it's just like there's this constant reaffirmation that your time is worth money. So you buy one thing and then you say, well, wait, if I buy two, I'm going to save $3. All right. And then you say, oh, and by the way, these sister products are going to save you money. And if you decide that you don't want to return it, you're going to save money if you give up your right to return. Unless you get garbage,
okay.
I guess if someone sent you, you know, you order something and you got like, an empty box, that's a different story. But they have all these little levers in there that as you're doing the shopping experience, and believe me, it's not perfect, but that, you know, you feel like I feel like on Amazon, I'm constantly getting a whole bunch of other stuff, but there, you know, it's about getting as much stuff in my basket as I can. And they're trying to help me do that in any way possible.
It sounds like you're also able to make your own decisions in some way. So I can live with this. This isn't a big deal to me, but this one is, you know, and so you can kind of customize it for yourself. That's very clever. Is there a lot of communication from customers for the orders?
Not to us.
Okay. So not to you. You're not
but,
having to deal
yeah,
with customer service
that.
Issues.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Which is great.
Ultimately, they will see that it's you that's fulfilling. When they get to the cart, they'll see fulfilled by and then, you know, your company name.
Does what about returns?
So
somebody could choose no returns. Well, that makes
right.
it easy. You don't have to worry about it. And do you get a higher fee for them choosing that?
It's actually the other way around. For them
choosing I would think that you'd have some stake
return,
at the game.
You give up a little percentage.
Right, right. So a higher fee, right?
Yeah,
so
yes, yeah, that's
you have a little stake in the game, right?
Yeah.
So that's and you're willing to do that because let's face it, if you can have 99% certainty, I'd take that 99% over 100%
right.
maybe, right?
I don't
right,
want
okay.
a piece of open something that's no, the time I have to spend opening the box and processing and assessing it, I'd rather just.
So you haven't had to deal with returns yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Granted, we haven't, you know.
Right.
It's not a big number yet. So we're up to about 300 approved listings at this point, I guess, as of last week. So we'll see where that goes.
So I have about 8,000 questions popping in my head. So I want to close the jet discussion because I like it. To me, even if it's not successful, you were successful adding your products on another marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the next marketplace is, you're that much further ahead of everyone. To me, that's the best thing that could happen because you're just, we're back to you working for another company. Oh, that's this badge today. Oh, wait, now it's this
yeah.
badge. Oh, this sign in. You know, that's where your whole life has brought you to that place where that, mm-hmm. you know, you're able to just say, oh, this is how you do that. Okay, this other company does it this way. Oh, I'll do it this way. No problem. I think that is a masterful thing, and it sounds to me like you've really figured that out. I love the API discussion because, again, no barriers are going to hold you back, and I just love it. So talk to me about Shopify. So how long have you had your Shopify site?
My shop is let me have one more thing on Jet before I go.
Okay.
Just because I think if anybody's interested in signing up, they should. So we have, we're marketing the API, and.
Oh, yourself. You will let somebody else buy that from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And we have four beta testers, and one of our beta testers, we have a couple of clients too that we manage their Amazon accounts too, but we applied to get approved, and we said only like 30 listings that we were going to add, and we got denied. One of our beta customers, who is a very big Amazon seller, applied and put their very big Amazon-type selling number as what their available sales would be for Jet, and they got approved in 24 hours. So
money talks.
Yeah, so I would say if you're debating whether or not you're trying to get your toe, dip your toe in or apply to Jet on make yourself as big as you can be, and don't just say, oh yeah, I'm just going to sell a couple things.
Well, I'm going to pop into Jay Bain's group at Scanner Monkey because I saw some people asking questions, and I'm sure he'll have you on, or Cordelia will have you on, and they'll get them out there. But I just make sure that we answered all the questions that were out there. If you're not a Scanner Monkey member, it's a small fee, but they handle a lot of this kind of discussion where they would have these things out there. I think we answered all the questions that I saw out there. People are just trying to understand, are they mostly grocery? Are they selling swing sets? Are they everything? Or are they starting in a particular niche?
We've sold everything.
Okay.
I've sold a watch. We've sold, bassinet pads. What else did we sell? We haven't sold any beauty products yet, but that was recently approved. Stuffed animals. I mean, they're everything. Technically speaking, they say they're focusing on household goods and grocery and that kind of thing. But I was shopping yesterday looking for some patio furniture. That's all over the place. Plus, they just bought hay needles, so that pretty much, it's a huge furniture company too. So I think they'll sell anything to get that cart filled up. If you're there, they want to get you as much in that cart as they can.
Here's one question that we didn't answer. What's your velocity and ROI look like versus Amazon? So now you have to take in their Amazon fees on every Jet sale you make because you're using them for processing.
Right.
So you have all that figured in. How about velocity? Have you sold the same product on both channels?
Yes.
Okay, so can you speak to velocity?
But we haven't had sales to make sense of velocity.
Okay. You're too new in there. Okay, that makes sense. How about the return of investment? Are you pricing it competitively to – well, obviously you're smart enough to figure that all out. But, I mean, what is your goal there?
Well, we're actually the same price as we are on Amazon.
Okay.
But, and obviously we're FBA, so it includes the shipping fee, so it covers a fair amount of the FBA fulfillment. But we also charge shipping, but not we charge a discounted version of shipping.
So you can make back up that piece of it, almost like a handling charge
essence, really. Yeah, just
really
covering. So, my goal is to sell more stuff at the same margin. That'd be fine.
Okay. I love it. And again, my opinion is that even if it doesn't work, and I can't imagine, the dude who started is pretty smart, so I'm sure it'll work. But you have learned that you can adapt to any system. To me, that is a huge reason to do it, because just getting through that barrier of, busting through that barrier, because as we already said, most people are going to be like, hassle, because I'm a hassle. I don't like hassles. Hassle. I'm walking away. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. Okay. I do want to hit your Shopify because I don't want to lose it. And we will put the link for your program that you're selling or whatever it is. Just send it to me and I'll put it in the podcast. I have no problem with that. Okay.
Okay.
So anybody who's interested in that, just check out this episode and I'll have it. It'll be out. later this week, and I'll put it on there, and there'll be a link to how to get to Barbara's software.
And even if you don't want to go with it, yeah, well, that's probably fair. And even if you don't want to do something with us, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll have all that contact stuff. We'll get to that in a few moments. But I do want to hear Shopify. I don't want to lose it because it became a hot topic. If you're in the wholesale business, having a Shopify or some legitimate site is a big deal because wholesalers want to know that you're a real player, right?
Right.
And they really like to see that. Now, Amazon has a partnership with Shopify. There's some kind of connection there. Or you can do your own standalone Shopify. Is yours a standalone or a partnered with Amazon?
That's interesting. I didn't know that about Amazon. Ours is standalone, and to be fair, I haven't spent much marketing time on Shopify. I think our site looks good. Our products are fulfilled through FBA from Shopify. But we haven't, to me, it's a placeholder so that when I'm buying some of the more exclusive items and they don't want to say, oh, you're only selling Amazon, I say, oh, no, I have this beautiful site here. Look at this. Look, we do such a good business and I can really market your items and they seem to be so satisfied with that.
Well, that's 2 points. Is it profitable as standalone?
No.
Okay, it's not. So it truly is, as you said, a placeholder or a advertisement for you to be able to say to them, hey, I'm a legitimate seller.
Yeah,
look at my site.
Business.
Because, yeah, okay. All right, and that's the way you're looking at it. Do you think now with, Pinterest and Instagram and Snapchat and all those out there and Facebook has a marketplace too, do you think that will be a method to eventually start to draw traffic for you?
Well, we have been doing a lot of Pinterest, but admittedly, I have it all directed to my Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Because it's even though we have a fairly large team, I've got everybody doing everything and anything. So what makes most sense for us is to put it there because I am, it's almost our hub is that's
right.
Our inventory system. And then all these other things are offshoots and connected. And
I like the way you just said that. Amazon FBA is your inventory system, which is so smart because we talked about your warehouse early on before we got on the call. Not very big, but you don't need it. You were very clear. I don't need a big warehouse, do you?
Okay.
Amazon's my warehouse. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. That's a very good point. I don't want to pass that. That's a really great observation.
And also, the other thing is Amazon was I consider them to be my first employee.
Ah. It's a big staff you got there,
yeah.
Let me tell you. Well, it's very cool. I think – to me, the sophisticated approach that you're taking, is you're valuing each segment for what they are. And I think that's just so smart. Amazon is your fulfillment center, your inventory management company. Oh, by the way, they happen to sell loads of stuff on there, right? And you're looking at other channels and are you using like a Joe Lister or an Auto MCF to use for eBay?
Yeah, we do. We use Auto MCF. Unfortunately, it's just we do a decent business on eBay, but it's just not what it should be.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, they're going through some real funky changes, and we'll see where that lands. As you say, it might be too late. Then again, there's a big following, so I got to hope for that.
Old Bay, New Bay or something. And
well, I imagine once they're really working on cleaning up their catalog, it's a disaster. As you know, in certain places it shouldn't be, right? DVDs, great example, right? They shouldn't be a disaster. There's only should be one UPC for that DVD, and there are many of them that don't.
And new products should be straightforward as well, right? So if it's a new product, there's one, Dove soap. That's it. So it doesn't need to be 25 listings for one Dove soap.
But you and I worked in corporate America. There are earnings to be met. There are shareholders that need to be satisfied. I mean, let's face it. That's the real world.
Yeah.
We could sit and say what we want about them, but they're a corporation just like everybody else. Then their shareholders want their return and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to have to fight against, right? Oh, yeah, we need more resources. Well, we got to make this quarter. And that's the bad news, And so that's the negative side of corporate America, but it is what it is. Have you ever messed with Bonanza or – well, you said – I think you told me privately you were looking at Sears.com or any of those.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the market's big enough. Somebody just told me that Rakuten is not performing for them at all.
Oh.
Which is – I don't know if you looked at them.
I think our next one is going to be Walmart. We're going to take a look at them. We just got approved. I got a lot of – for me, to some degree – the touchy-feely stuff helps a lot in building my confidence. So I've gotten 4 or 5 emails from Walmart. I got a long, protracted call, protracted in a good sense, with an account manager to help me get set up and talk with me through the application process and reassure me, you know, and like, oh, is this what I'm supposed to do? Yeah. And let me know the timelines and the dates. And the same thing with Jet. Every time I call them there, they're very, you know, they'll stay on the phone with you as long as possible, or as long as you need them to do. And, you know, when I get on the phone with Amazon, I'm like, can I talk to your supervisor?
No.
You know, can I talk to a category specialist? Because I know you, I can tell right away, you, by the second question you ask me, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's very frustrating.
Right. Or try talking to eBay, same thing. I mean, they just, they're legacy businesses and they have not built that side yet. They, you know, and again, part of the reason is they have all these other toes in the water, and that's part of the problem. Where now the Walmart thing interests me because, you know, if I were someone, I would be thinking of a very few products, you know, trying to go narrow so you can really focus and learn the systems. Is that your approach?
I don't know what I'm going to see there yet, and I think the biggest concern I have is they don't, they will not allow FBA fulfillment.
Oh, they do not want Amazon boxes going to a Walmart customer.
And even, well, they could solve that by just having blank boxes, but the issue is, and she wouldn't tell me this. I said, I'm going to ask you a question, and if you don't say anything, the answer is yes.
Oh, man.
If you say no, then the answer is no. I said, are you guys building out your own fulfillment centers?
And it was silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I asked her a couple times, I finally decided to say that to her. I was like, is that what you're doing? Is that why won't you let FBA fulfill? It's crazy.
Well, you know, that'll be an interesting – for somebody to try to compete on scale with – you know, where I live, there are 4 Amazon warehouses in my town, 4, and they're miles long. When you go by them, it takes you minutes to get past them. And so you think about what it, you know, and they're so technologically advanced now. I mean, they're just, the robots are everywhere, and the people, I mean, they have thousands of employees. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. Well, you have enlightened me about Jet, and I think you're going to help a lot of people start to figure out. So best approach for somebody who's saying, all right, I want to dip my toe on Jet, what do you suggest? Or should they take their Colgate toothpaste or their Crest, I think we were using as my example, or is it better to take private label or bundles, use the term intermingle, you know, the same term. Do you think that that's the best approach, or what's your advice?
I think the way to think about it, too, is they've got this listing match problem right now. They're going to solve it. I have every confidence they're going to solve it. But right now, every listing you put in, they have to look at and match or approve, right? You know, they may not be in their catalog, so then they have to look at and say, yeah, that looks like, you know, maple syrup. Okay.
But if it's not in their catalog, are they willing to add it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Half my listings are in their catalog, so.
Okay, know. So I'm selling Crest, my new Trest toothpaste, right? I want to add it.
Yeah.
They are willing to do that.
Yes,
okay.
They are. The thing is, though, because there's a bit of a time lag between the time you put the listing up for them to review and then when they circle back around and it's your turn, you don't want to put up the thing you have one of. You probably want to start with, you know, and if you could, and I don't even know how to load it so that you could do it that way. Maybe you, I don't know if they do it like the first one loaded, right? I don't know how they look at it. But, maybe you want to put up stuff that you have some depth in so that they don't approve a listing that you just sold out of on Amazon.
Okay. So something that you're sitting on, a whole bunch of them, whether they're in your warehouse or their warehouse. What if it's in your warehouse? Is it different for the shipping process?
No, you just have to make sure you acknowledge within 15 minutes that you're going to fulfill it.
Wow. 15 minutes, that's a little scary. And is it 15 minutes, 24 hours a day?
Yes.
So you really have to have some kind of automated software to say, yes, we acknowledge this.
Yes.
And is your software doing – you're using FBA to do that. Is there must be third-party softwares for, you know, outside of FBA,
well,
correct?
Well, FBA isn't doing that. Our software is communicating.
Oh, so
FBA
you're – the API
to,
thing
yeah.
that you wrote. Okay,
yeah,
so it does the listing
API
and the other side.
Yeah.
Okay, so your software does both sides.
Yeah, it has – yeah, it's – it's the conduit, I guess that's the
okay. All right, good. All right, and we're going to have a link for that. Okay, so the advice then again is to go and find something that you have a bunch of, try to get approved, and try to sell it. Price it competitively with your Amazon listing is your advice?
Okay. So, and also if you have products that are adjacent to it, so if I have toothbrushes and toothpaste, right, that would make sense.
Okay, because they'll try to keep you together when a customer sees that. Do they try to match it up?
Yeah, so they're trying to fill that basket up again. And if you know, odds are if you're in the market for toothpaste, you might also need a toothbrush. And if there's really cool toothbrush with bristles and sparkles and lights up in the dark, maybe that you'd be open to that. So they're going to try to present that toothbrush to you.
And it's more optimal, your term, if you have both of those things from a shipping point of view, and that would help you get both sales. Okay. I love it. Love it. That's really sound advice. Any other advice that you would give for somebody, you know, is this for the new seller, do you think, or do you think they need to have a little bit of time under their belt?
I think it's time under your belt because you really need to understand margins. I don't think new sellers always know that. At least from what I've seen, they ask these questions like, I have something I paid $10 for and it's on sale for Amazon for $12. It's like, you can't sell that. You know, you're losing money every time you sell that. So I think a more seasoned seller is going to have a better understanding of just mechanics. Like, how do you fulfill something? And you got to do it in 15 minutes and you've got to have all the components. I think it is, in my opinion, for the professional seller. I don't think it's a hobby marketplace.
Okay. So it's not necessarily sophisticated, but it's not user-friendly for sure if they don't have their own, you know, entry stuff yet. So get yourself situated, get organized, and once you're ready to really get into that next marketplace, you know, because there's some logic to this, you really have to master the Amazon marketplace as much as you can, right? And it's all relative. Not everybody can master it, let's face it. But you really need to master that before you – because once you start getting into this complicated, you know, fulfillment issues. I mean, there are issues, right? You got to be on top of them. And so to try to add that in, if you don't have your all products established and all that kind of jazz, I think would be a disaster. I think you'd just fail at everything instead of succeeding.
And they aren't very accommodating when you miss that window.
Well, yeah, I imagine those hurt your seller rankings.
Yeah. If you miss the window or you're late shipping, you know, they're now, that being said, they are more, they understand FBA. So if you're fulfilling through, if your fulfillment channel or your first fulfillment note is FBA, they're very understanding. If you're fulfilling it and you're not meeting the points, they're not as much so.
Okay. And do you get to negotiate those terms when you start? Is it, you know, hey, I can do it in a 5-day fulfillment, 3-day, 1 day?
No.
There are standards. You agree to these terms,
yes,
or you're not in.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Fair. All right. Very cool. So you owe me a link for your software, which I'll put out there. Best way for people to ask more questions, I'm assuming you'll be out on all the shows. Matter of fact, I'll probably send Jay Bain a note because I know the question was asked in Scanner Monkey, and I'll send him a note. He probably would want to have you on too, where you can go deeper. People will have a chance to think about some of the things we talked about, and they'll probably have more questions. Best way to get in touch with you?
You can. I'm a Scanner Monkey. So you
okay.
can find me on Scanner Monkey. You can send me an email, Barbara@MerchantMinds.com or Facebook.
Okay, so Barbara@MerchantMinds.com. And then I'll do your private message for Facebook. I'll have that
okay.
link for that too.
All right.
Okay. Man, I appreciate you taking the time. Enlightening. I had a whole bunch of questions. You've answered the ones that I had for now. You've satisfied my mind for now. I'm sure I'll be thinking as the wheels go through. But it's I love the fact – well, there are two things that I'm going to take away from this. One is you built your own API. You know, that's the real success for people when they aren't satisfied with the things. They solve their own problems. Those are usually the hits, and you've done that. And the fact that you partner up with another seller is genius. You spread the risk. You spread the time, the talent, the money. And then the other thing, again, I still applaud you for reaching out and really taking on this other channel, because again, the lessons that you learn here are going to just explode as the e-commerce market continues to grow. You're going to be so far ahead. Just applaud you for that. It's just awesome stuff.
Thank you.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, thank you again. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you very much for having me.
Take care.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Barbara was very generous with her time and really patient in explaining a lot, and I just think that's great. Again, I think she's just going to crush it because she's putting in the time. You too can put in the time. If it's not yet, it's opening up an eBay Plan B account, getting into Amazon.eu, not CA. Beaver says stay away from CA, but .eu is a great place to expand to. There are other channels out there. Put in the work, and you too can have that success. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.